The Wasteland. The near future. Movie clerk David Snyder and overlord Immortan Hoof fight to rid the decaying landscape of the cinematic naivety which infests it. After being told that their animation output is lagging, Apocalypse Video is outfitted by Dave with increased cartoon coverage and a computer-enhanced theme song. It has become the ultimate super pod, Robopod.
Welcome to another episode of the Apocalypse Video, Robopod. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Ruler of the Wasteland, Immortan Hoof.
You can call me Hope Crusher.
I thought he said Hulk Crusher in there. I was just like, are we getting some Marvel crossover in this episode?
Oh, that'd be funny. But yeah, because his accent is, or is, I don't know what kind of, whatever, his voice is a little thick, but yeah, he's...
A lot of bad accents in this episode.
We don't want the Blighted Desert, except we'd like permission to send oil trucks over it. Nothing more.
Oil trucks? I think that would be all right. Perhaps we can reach an agreement after all.
Yeah, it doesn't make the episode look very good, but it is funny because they talked about this when they were writing the episode, but because he says his name is Hope Crusher, but then he gives context for the name. He's like,
if you have any hope of calling for help, he has already crushed it. The guards are quite unconscious.
Yes, we're talking about A Robot's Revenge this week on the Robopod, and yeah, what an opening here. Like, so we said in the last episode that we were disappointed with the title. It was very misleading, Rumble in Old Detroit. There was very little to no rumble in that episode. However, A Robot's Revenge, I feel like this title, you know, lives up to the episode, or rather the episode lives up to the title. I mean, there is robot revenge in this episode.
Yeah, if we're talking about ratio to episode promise versus episode title promise, I think this is a pretty good ratio.
Not to say there's not bad stuff in this episode. There is. And honestly, I think it completely undermines the episode. But there is fun stuff here. There is robot revenge. Like I said, it opens with RoboCop, or what appears to be RoboCop, fighting a new and improved Ed 260, or should I say Ed 260A? And it's a really cool opening because he gets thrown through walls, and there's a moment which is probably the coolest moment in the episode when Ed 260 just shoots RoboCop and he literally explodes to pieces.
Yeah.
Like his arm flies off, like pieces of him start flying off, and there's this big explosion. I'm just like, all right, so clearly this isn't RoboCop, but that was a gnarly image.
It's a little graphic.
I was surprised by how, I mean, granted, there's no blood or anything, but just the fact that you see pieces of RoboCop, whole limbs, like, fly off in a big explosion, I'm like, that's pretty metal for what this show is.
Yeah, I think when you say it like that, like, it is, this is one of those moments where, if you were going to make a new cartoon, like, this is a moment of a cartoon to pay attention to and be like, oh, we could do this. As long as we do it this way, like, we could show someone getting obliterated and body parts flying if we do it in this way, meaning mm-hmm. that we show that it's not the real hero or character.
It's in just another... a simple droid.
Yeah, it's just a simple droid. It's like when you have in the movies, you have aliens, they bleed, but they bleed blue or whatever. So
creature violence.
Little bread crumbs like this in these types of shows that you want to pick up and pay attention to. You want to savor. Mm-hmm. But I think this episode, it'd be better if you talk about the plot just very quickly, and then we can talk about the things that happen, because I think that there is like a lot going on in this episode a little bit.
It's very timely, you know, like, obviously so the two big things in this episode, Dr. McNamara wants to destroy RoboCop. He's built these two.
You say what? He wants to do what?
McNamara wants revenge. Like,
no, I'm just kidding, because that's what he wants every time.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, true. Yeah, he's very one dimensional. But anyway, it starts with Dr. McNamara, this big cool scene where he's like, ah, too bad that was just a droid of RoboCop, but these new and improved Ed 260s will finish the job. And that's always his thing. But unfortunately, these two terrorists break in, Abu Sentaru, who I thought, a little deep cut here, I thought he looked a lot like Gremlins director Joe Dante. If you know who Joe Dante is, like, I feel like this guy looked like him a lot. Maybe he was, like, friends with some of the writers of the show, I don't know, but I really thought he looked like Joe Dante.
Friends or anyway. Enemies, depending on how you look at it.
But Abu Sentaru comes in with his mustached henchman, Hope Crusher, who we'll get into in a little bit. He has a showdown with RoboCop, which was funny and probably the funniest thing of the episode. But we'll get to that. And they are there to steal the robots and use them to assassinate these two Middle Eastern leaders that are having a peace treaty at OCP, because he wants to kill both of them so that his country, I forget the name. Again, I have to look into my notes. There's a lot of names thrown around in this episode.
Yeah.
Gravia. He represents Gravia. And he's like, if I could kill these two guys and create a war between Argania and Zuckistan, then people will come to our country for oil and we'll be rich, basically.
So there's a lot of, so this is, for those of you who don't know, I have an economics background, and this is pure econ, where you eliminate competition and you can become a monopoly. So this is that's what I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh, that's pretty fascinating.
So are you saying that this episode is yet another case of RoboCop the animated series being used for like educational purposes later?
Yeah, but more meaningful educational purposes.
I would like to cite episode 10 of RoboCop the Animated Series entitled A Robot's Revenge in my economics thesis.
Yeah, in advanced macroeconomics, we specifically covered this episode. My teacher was a big fan. That's actually why I agreed to do this podcast, because my teacher was a big fan, and I wanted to honor that teacher. And so I hope you're proud of me, Mr. Bot.
Mr. Bot. Oh, you're not making a joke. Okay, I thought you were making a thing like a robot or Mr.
Yeah, I was.
Moving on. Oh, you were making a joke. Okay, good. But, like, honestly, there were times in this episode, well, pretty much any time it showed that the two Middle Eastern leaders, I was thinking of the Naked Gun. I was thinking of the opening of Naked Gun when you have all the Middle Eastern leaders there. They're talking about we must commit at least one terrorist attack. Like the way they're portrayed in this episode is very much like they were in a Naked Gun. It's very stereotypical.
I have to make a confession. I haven't seen that movie.
Okay, well, it's a spoof movie from the same people who made Airplane.
Right. Yeah, I know that, but I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know reference.
So yeah, so basically they're just they're spoofing the Middle East. Like this episode came out in the late 80s. This came out the same year as Rambo 3, and the big thing about that movie was he has to go to the Middle East. I think it was Afghanistan and rescue his former commander and all that stuff. So a lot of this, like, the Middle East was definitely, like, you know, in the public mindset of the time, and this episode feels really timely it feels of its time. In that sense, in this episode. But these are the things that just kind of, like, I was just like, you know what I mean? Like, like the subplot with, what's his name?
McNamara?
No, Prince Soros. Oh. Like, this whole relationship between Prince Soros and Lewis, like, this guy is basically Pepe Le Pew. I mean, he's just one step away from going,
at least we have escaped. And it is really thanks to you. You saved my life.
Oh, it was just in the line of duty.
Oh, what a woman. Modest, too. And even in that uniform, your earthy charm is very appealing.
Thanks, I guess.
If only you lived in my country, perhaps we could have more than just a bodyguard relationship, eh?
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, he's like bored. Like, it's... Oh, God. It's so weird watching this episode and seeing what they thought was okay. Like, he's not like molesting her or anything like that, but he does have his hand on her shoulder, like, way too much. Like, it was so weird. Like, when they start getting when he starts telling her to, like, come back to his country, he has his hand on her shoulder, and then she's talking to RoboCop. All this whole time he has his hand on his shoulder, like, it was just drawn that way. It's just so weird. Like, really excessive. So I don't know. It's just weird.
Well, I think for me, it was just the Pepe Le Pew-ness of this guy. Just constantly. Like, if he's not doing this with Lewis, he's just like, oh, no, the Blighted Desert. No troops in the Blighted Desert. Ah! You know, it's just like, it switches from Pepe Le Pew to stereotypical Middle Eastern guy. And it's just like, I'm just sitting here rolling my eyes. I'm just like, I get it. It's a product of its time, but it's just like, get to the robot revenge.
Let's get back to the revenge. there was, I think my favorite moment in this episode, though, actually comes from the Pepe Le Pew Lewis thing is like, so Lewis actually says, oh, I've never known you to be jealous, to RoboCop. And then RoboCop, he says, no. And this, the way he says no is the funniest thing.
It's not like you to argue with the old man's decisions, Murphy. Something bothering you?
No.
It's just so funny. Like, if you go back and watch that, just that one little clip, like, it's the way he says it is the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's just so.
No.
Well, this is so. RoboCop is the star of this episode. I know that sounds silly to say. Of course, he should be the star of every episode in his series, but he is certainly the star of this. I mean, you'd think it would be Hope Smasher would be the star of this particular episode, but he's not.
Hope Crusher,
it's RoboCop.
Dave.
Hope Crusher, excuse me. RoboCop is a star because, like, I personally, so, like you said, yes, he has several, like, this is the episode I feel where his, like, human side comes out the most.
Yeah, for sure.
And part of that goes into his cries of pain. I think this arguably might have the most amount of RoboCop moments where he goes, oh! like where he's struggling. Like, I mean, we see this at least once in every episode, but this one has several instances where he's fighting Ed 260, where he's always just saying, where he's always just like, you know, just screaming like, like, I'm going to play a little snippet of RoboCop going, just to show how many times he is in trouble in this episode.
Oh,
and it's one
God.
Of those things where it's just like, why did they program him to feel pain?
Oh, need cover. Time to think.
Murphy!
Complete programming. Now.
Okay, so that makes me think of something funny, like, I feel like this show, this cartoon, RoboCop the animated series, you could make a good drinking game with this
yes!
episode. And I think if you had one thing like take a drink every time RoboCop gets hurt or something like that, this episode would get you drunk.
Every time he goes, oh, oh God, it was just so funny. Like, just some of the things in this episode, like the robot's revenge half of this episode made me laugh. Like, we got some straight up like Pacific Rim shit where like Ed 260 has like rocket fists.
Yeah, so Ed 260A is new and improved in a lot of cool ways, and he's able to shoot or launch his arms. Which is pretty
and
cool.
Seemingly, I don't think we ever see them actually come back and reattach, but I guess they do. They must.
They couldn't draw that, so. So it just happens in between the cutscenes. But yeah, he has these new improved launching arms, and then I think my favorite thing is that his legs turn into like tank treads.
Well, not only that, they turn into tank treads so he can get around, but he also like jumps. Like,
yeah,
super
yeah,
high.
Right.
Like, he doesn't fly. He just flat out just jumps.
Yeah, and the way his legs look, he looks like a frog jumping. So that, I don't know, that's kind of cool, too. But yeah,
it was a little different.
He's definitely improved. So that's not, like, false advertising.
He wants his revenge.
Yeah. Another funny thing, too, was at the end when, I think it's Dr. McNamara. He's like, oh, look behind this wall. And he raises this wall and he's got two more robots.
He just happens to have two more. Yeah.
He's built two more. I don't know why I think that's so funny. It's just like, oh, look behind this wall. There's just two more robots.
Just happened to be there. Oh, God. Honestly, as cool as the robots are, I would have liked to have seen an extended fight between RoboCop and Hope Crusher.
Oh, that was a good fight.
Because we do get one, and it is awesome.
Yeah, he's like reassessing.
It's great because long story short, RoboCop figures out what's going on. He's like, those robots came from Dr. McNamara's test center. Like, I will go there, the source, and stop them. Goes there, gets misinformed by Dr. McNamara. Like, well, technically, McNamara weasels his way out again. Like, he does technically tell RoboCop the truth. These guys came in here, they stole my robots, and they want to kill you. That's technically the truth, but he doesn't tell RoboCop the whole truth, which is obviously he created these robots so he can get revenge on RoboCop. Anyway.
Okay, let me just real quickly. I have an issue with RoboCop's truth detector. Like,
the voice stress analyzer?
I think that's suspect. Like, well, first of all, the lie detector, it's like a lie detector, and those are not very reliable. So if this guy is a law enforcement agent, like, I just think that's dubious. So note that.
I don't know, dude. I saw that episode of Seinfeld where they were interrogating him about his knowledge of Melrose Place, and he cracked, and the lie detector knew it. So I don't know. Maybe lie detectors are all they're cracked up to be. I'm just saying.
All right, listeners, it's Dave versus Goathoof on the merits of the lie detector or truth detector or whatever it is. So you be the judge.
I saw it on Seinfeld once, and it worked. So I don't know what else you want, man.
Oh, that's so funny. And another thing happens. So when RoboCop comes to McNamara's lab, he drives up, and he's like, the guards are gone. That's warrant for or that's
premise. That's probable cause.
So funny. Oh, my God. That's so funny. It's just like they had put that in there. Oh, my God. I was dying when that happened.
I was dying later when we get some robo martial arts. Now, this is the best moment of the episode, easily.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, I think it kind of gets into, well, no, not kind of, it flat out gets into RoboCop's human side more, because we get the awesome fight between Hope Crusher and RoboCop. And Hope Crusher actually, like, kicks RoboCop's ass for a few seconds. He, like, does, like, this drop kick and fucking drops RoboCop. And it's bizarre, because I think it might be the first time we hear Hope Crusher talk in the episode, and he sounds like a baby or something. He's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, what the fuck? He is not talking in a language. That is gibberish. He's got like this, like, you know, 1930 strongman, like, stringy mustache or whatever, like wiry mustache, and like it's insane. He just starts talking gibberish, dropkicks RoboCop, and I'm just like, is this guy like a mutant or something? Like, how is it? Like, I was expecting what it was. I figured it'd be one of those things where it's like, yeah, clearly he's a big tough guy, but he's still just a human. RoboCop's a cyborg. I figured it'd be one of those things where RoboCop maybe gets punched or something, but then he like crushes Hulk. Hope Crusher's hand or something. No, Hope Crusher flat out drop kicks RoboCop and drops him.
Yeah, Hope Crusher's the real deal.
If only he didn't sound like an infant, but that's another story. But another thing about Hope Crusher that we didn't mention, it was in my imagination, or was he reading porn when Ed 260 was trying to assassinate like the dignitaries?
Oh my God, it's funny you say that. Like, I didn't do this, but I almost like rewound it just to see because what he was reading. But you could be right.
All right, so this is a cartoon. I'm sure it wasn't porn. Like, for all we know, like, it could have just been like the funnies or something. It could have been like an Archie comic that he was reading. But anyway, back to the robo martial arts. So we get this standoff between Hope Crusher and RoboCop. And what is the funniest moment of this episode, and possibly the funniest moment of the series thus far, RoboCop does like a martial arts stance. And Dr. McNamara is like, what the? You're not programmed for martial arts. And RoboCop just simply says, I know. And then just throws like a haymaker punch and disables Hope Crusher.
I must reassess this opponent's capabilities.
What are you doing? You're not programmed for martial arts.
I know.
Yeah, he uses psychology to that's a throwback to a previous episode, but yeah.
I want a still image of RoboCop doing this martial arts stance. I want it blown up. I want to produce a giant poster of this because I want this. I want to look at this image a lot because I am a big RoboCop fan. Have been for a long time since I was a little kid, and it never ever crossed my mind that I would ever see RoboCop doing a martial arts stance. honestly, it broke my mind a little bit.
That's awesome. I love that it did that. And it was so funny. Like, you think that you're going to get this cool hand-to-hand combat, like maybe action sequence.
He just punches him.
Yeah. But then he just punches him. It's just like...
I know.
There was some real, thought put into this.
Can you imagine if RoboCop did, a roundhouse kick? Oh, that would have been too much. My mind would have exploded if I saw that.
Yeah, I don't think even the cartoon physics couldn't handle that.
But long story short, RoboCop beats the shit out of Hope. I can't say this. I keep wanting to say Hulk Crusher. Hope Crusher. Okay, the guy. It's like one of those tongue twisters, this guy's name. But basically, RoboCop disables them. He disables the Ed-260s because he figures out, they have a weakness in their arm or some shit. Disables them. And we get... It's all leading up to this last moment of the episode where Pepe Le Pew, a.k.a.
Saurus, right?
Prince Saurus or whatever. It's just like, come, marry me. Come live with me. You will be treated like a queen. Blah, blah, blah. And Lewis actually considers this. But she only changes her mind when she sees the fact that Prince Saurus also has other wives. Many other wives who basically look like harems that are just sitting there just on his shoulder. You're just like, And we get another awesome moment of RoboCop humanity where he laughs. He's like, God, you're dumb, Lewis. I told you. It's just so insane. And it also leads into more of what we were saying in previous episodes where we're convinced that Lewis wants to fuck RoboCop.
Yeah, I think she does.
Well, if I had some time to think about it.
You are actually considering this offer?
What if I am? I'm not just a cop. I'm a woman, too. Or haven't you noticed?
Well, she has that line where it's like, it's always just work with you, Murphy. Again, it's like, she wants to bone RoboCop. I swear.
Yeah, she says, oh, I am a woman, you know. Or she says, I have feminine needs or something like that. One of those two.
I'm surprised they didn't put a boing sound effect in this episode. Like when the prince opens up the doors and you see all his wives, I was seriously expecting a boing moment. It's just... granted, we do get the music where it's like that goofy do 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 kind of music, and just again, it almost these are the moments in this cartoon series that are very eighties cartoons personified. I feel like all eighties cartoons had these it's like almost every episode had to end with the comical goofy moment with goofy music playing. It's a real staple of cartoons in this era.
Yeah,
sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. And I think it's in this case, it's because it's butting against the robot revenge, which and also the robot martial arts, which I love so dearly in this episode.
Yeah, I think I don't know. This ending, I think, is a little mixed. I could see this being as funny if this was not for kids, but to have this, I don't know. It's just weird, but. The funniest thing to me is that he brought all his wives with him to this trip.
Yeah, I know, right? To dangerous old Detroit.
Yeah, to dangerous old Detroit. I think that's the funniest thing that he would bring all his wives with him, and they're just behind the store.
I guess I gotta hand the show. At least it's trying to dip its toe into more serious adult things. You know, it could just be full on G.I. Joe, but it tries things. Again, this is John Shirley, the writer of maybe one of our favorite episodes, No New News is Good News, and also The Brotherhood. It seems like this is the guy that's trying to say something with these episodes. I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to say with this one. It seemed like maybe he was just trying to, he was just dipping into current events to kind of spice up the episode a bit.
Yeah, I think, so based on, I don't know about The Brotherhood, but No News is Good News, and this episode, he does seem to put like thought into his episodes, like
a little
yeah. details that maybe are like to have this. I think it's silly to have this Middle Eastern peace conference in the episode. Like, I wish we could show.
Yeah,
a kid
why are they
this.
Having it here? What is OCP like offered to host this? I mean, I guess they are like a. I mean, we've seen in previous episodes that OCP seems to have their fingers in everything. I mean,
yeah,
they have
which
malls.
I think as the episodes go on, from like a perspective of like what OCP owns and what they're involved in, like this world building is a little interesting because they're clearly involved in everything. Like,
yeah,
they're involved in military contracts. They're involved in military weaponized with Death Spore. They're involved
hospitals.
Hospitals. They're involved with.
Food
drugs
banks.
They're involved with meat production,
yeah,
involved with that, everything. And so they're hosting this peace conference, so they're basically the government at this point, I think. So and you could see like you can have a peace conference hosted at like, you know, in Europe and stuff like that, or here in America. So I think that's, but I just wish I could ask a kid, like, what do you think of this? Like, I think that would be funny.
Yeah, I felt like I feel like maybe he tried to slip in one little bit of commentary or something. It's early on in the episode when the dignitaries are having like their argument in the beginning. It's like Blighted Desert, no troops to the Blighted Desert, back and forth. And then it's only when the guy says, no, we don't want to own the country. We just want to have our oil trucks like drive through it. And that causes the other guy to say, oil trucks? Yes, I think that would be all right.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, it seemed like a subtle little, well, not a subtle, but it seemed like a jab, like, all those Middle Eastern guys are only interested in oil, man. Like, to me, it seemed like a not so subtle jab at like, the Middle East in that sense, that they're, it's always just oil with them, man.
Yeah. I don't know. So I see the jab at, like, that's why OCP is doing it, because it's about oil. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this episode, the robot revenge is good. The commentary is like, eh, but still, there's some stuff here.
There's like very little commentary. I think it's mainly just plucking from like the headlines of the time,
for
essentially.
Sure.
Like, no, I don't know. I don't think it's really saying anything. It's just, no. I mean, like I said, like this Prince Saris guy is basically Pepe Le Pew in the episode. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So not one of John Shirley's best works. I think, you know, No News is Good News is still his best outing, followed by a close second by Brotherhood. I really enjoy that episode. As goofy as it is. But this will be the last time that we see John Shirley writing on the series. The next two episodes will be written by Roger Slifer. Roger Slifer, excuse me.
Or Slifer. Could be either one.
But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Apocalypse Video RoboPod. We'll be back next time with Into the Wilderness.
I mean, to be a princess. How many women get an offer to marry someone? Someone like Prince Saurus. Even if it means giving up being a cop, I have to at least consider it.
And think of the marvelous company you'd have if you'd marry me.
Company? What company?
Why, my other wives, of course.
Other wives? I heard that. You're laughing at me over what happened.
I am a cyborg. Cyborgs do not laugh.